and welcome to Freedom's Way tonight. We have an awesome word for you, but I want to remind everybody, for anybody that has dialed, or not dialed, but opened this message from a digital source or an archive source, our website or wherever, please understand we're on a live teleconference meeting. That means that people will be dialing in on their telephones from all over the place. So we're going to give them about 3 to 5 minutes to get here, announce themselves if they want to, and be quiet if they don't. For those of you who want to join us on our live calls, the number is 605-475-2090, and you would enter an access code, which is 373-363-pound, spells free me on your telephone keypad. So those of you who are already here, if you'd like to let us know you are here, tell us who you are, that'd be great. And if you don't, that's okay too. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Hi, Vicki. This is Helen.
Oh, hi, Helen. Thank you for being here.
Good to be here.
And hello, my text listener. Glad to have you, honey.
Good evening, Vicki from Cindy and Steve, and hello, Phil.
That's Cindy and Steve.
Yes. Hello.
We were so glad to see you guys. It was just a blessing. Thank you for coming down.
Same for us as well.
Anybody else on yet that would like to say hello? Not quite 8:30 yet. Praise God. It's been a good day all around. Every day is a holiday. Every meal is a banquet in the kingdom of God. We're so delighted that we get to have another glorious day in God's glorious kingdom. Anybody else want to tell me you're here? I guess we should give them another minute. It's just now 8:30. Say hello, caller.
Hello.
Hey, is that Larry?
Yes, ma'am.
I thought that was you. Okay, once again. Hey, who is that?
Judy.
Hey, Judy.
How y'all doing?
We're blessed.
Yes, we are, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Hello, hello.
Hi, Miss Vicki. I'm sorry, I'm late, Susan.
Not a problem, Mitch. Thanks for being here.
Everybody okay? Everybody doing good?
We are fit and fine.
Pastor feel better too?
He is.
Alrighty. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
He went to PT today and they worked him out.
Alrighty, yes, ma'am. That's good. Alrighty, good. Yeah, my wife should be calling in just a second.
I'm here.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey.
I'm gonna mute out, but I'm so nervous.
Yeah, we're here to win. Alright, that's better.
Come on, Mitch, hang up.
Hi, this is Martha Patty.
Hey, welcome, Martha Patty.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome. I'm going to worry about the windows. I'm going to mute your phone so that everybody will have a clear line. Anybody else want to say hello?
Okay. Nice to meet you.
For those of you who might be new on the line.
Why did you say that then? Tease me.
Okay. For those of you who are new on the line, I have just muted your telephone. That means that you should still be able to hear me, but if anybody is making any noise in their car, in their home, in their, you know, wherever they happen to be listening to our call tonight, it's not going to interfere with what you hear. So I thank you all for joining us, and I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Phil. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And welcome this evening. This is our Monday night teaching for Freedom's Way Ministries. My name is Phil Burdett, and I'm here with my wife, Vicki. We teach with Freedom's Way Ministries. We have a great message for you tonight. You will be blessed. Your phones are muted, so I'm going to pray us in and get started. Our mission is to help you come into your full, true identity in Christ and enjoy all the benefits of kingdom living and kingdom authority. That is our mission, and anything we can do to help you achieve that goal, we are here to do it. So relax, enjoy. I'm going to pray us in, and we will get started. Father God, we just thank you tonight. We glorify you, Father. We give you all the honor and all the glory. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit is anointing this message tonight to bless your people and to help them grow in you and enjoy the benefits of all that you died for and came for to provide for your people. And we are thankful to you. We give you honor and glory tonight. In the name of Jesus, I turn aside any assignment from hell that would try to distort, blunt this message in any way. And I say, Holy Spirit, have your way in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we started last week another little mini-series of messages. This one has to do with Bible symbolisms and understanding the deeper things of God. And to that end, we're digging out nuggets of revelation that are found in symbolic comparisons, analogies, metaphorical expressions, parabolic language, and other types and shadows that are hidden in the Word. Tonight's message is Trees of Righteousness, the Planting of the Lord. This is the second part of that word. And again, we need to understand the mysteries of God are not laid up from us, but for us. And in order to know ourselves, we must know God. Part of knowing God is understanding his symbolic language. So last week, we talked about trees in comparison to God's people. This week, we're going to continue with other examples of trees from his word. Our foundation scripture is Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3, and it reads this way, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." Thank you, Lord.
Amen. God likens us to trees. And then throughout Scripture, he shows us different trees and how they were used of him. The word reveals these trees were planted by the Lord with forethought and purpose. It's amazing and encouraging to look into these analogies and see that God is in the midst of us and that he has a great purpose in mind for each one of us. This is not just a bunch of dead doctrine and religion, but a living, breathing word that the Creator of all things uses to tell us about ourselves as individuals and as a body. I know that some of you have already come into an understanding of that, even though it seems your growing process was slow and your purpose unrealized, there's still hope. And it's good to know you're a tree. Hallelujah. Here's another tree of righteousness in Genesis 18, 1 through 4. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away. I pray you from your servant, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree.
Okay. This is the account where Abraham and Sarah are in their tent and these three angelic beings. Now, there's a lot of debate as to who they are, but nevertheless, here they are. And these angelic beings are at their door. And they're about to declare to Abraham and Sarah their inheritance, that they are going to have a son in their old age. Sarah, who overhears this conversation from her place at the tent entrance, laughs to herself. That's where Isaac got his name, laughter. Genesis 18, verse 9 through 14, and they said unto him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Wow. Let's follow an interesting thought here. We're talking about Father Abraham now and God's plan. God is getting ready to redeem the whole of creation, beginning with a promise to Abraham. In your seed, Isaac, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So preparation is made to declare this promise to him, and here's a tree.
This tree, once again, was strategically planted. It was planted where these angelic messengers would find rest underneath it as God begins to declare the future. Here they are in a place under a tree, a place where heaven's plans are revealed into the earth. God is a God who invades the earth at strategic times. If we are trees of righteousness honoring God, I believe we'll have angels coming down in the midst of us. If it happens to you, it doesn't mean you're anything special. It just means there's a tree. You're a tree, and angelic beings are going to rest underneath your tree. And that is exciting.
Yeah.
You know you can sense the presence of angels around you. If we're walking with Jesus, heaven wants to invade our space. Heaven wants to come down and encamp and rest under the tree that God has planted. We can be a place in the earth where heaven can begin to share God's thoughts about what he's getting ready to do, a tree where he unfolds his plans and reveals his inheritance to us. There's a place in our midst, trees planted by the Lord, trees of righteousness where God is cultivating a heavenly exchange.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, this theme of trees just goes, it goes on and on. Well, let's go to Judges for another look at another tree. This is in Judges chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. So here's Deborah. Deborah sat under a tree. She was a prophetess and a judge over Israel. Let that sink in. A woman leader. Even in Old Covenant times, God honored women. She was a judge of the entire nation. She directed kings. And here she is, sitting under a tree. Now everybody knew this wasn't just any tree. It was the tree of Deborah. It was a tree where the people came to receive judgment and direction and instruction. God used Deborah to keep Israel prosperous at that time. So here we see a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, a tree where people can come and receive God's judgment on matters, where people can come and receive counsel, where they can come and receive instruction. People came to this tree to get what they needed from God so they could go back out into their world and live prosperously. Praise the Lord. Maybe you are that kind of tree. Or perhaps you're a tree that God can use to display a triumph over the works of darkness. Hallelujah.
In Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 through 2, says, And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be ye dismayed. Take all the people of war with you, and arise, and go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and her king as you did unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay you an ambush for the city behind it. Verse 8, And it shall be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord shall you do. See, I have commanded you. And verses 14 through 19, And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at a time appointed before the plain. And he knew not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them, and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them, and they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, and for I will give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it and hasted to set the city on fire. And finally, verses 28 through 29, and Joshua burnt Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remains unto this day. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, and we had to read all of that to make sure you get the whole picture here. God had given them this city, but they had to go in and take it. And then they displayed the victory by hanging the king on a tree. The Bible says Joshua took the king of Ai and they hung him on a tree. Ai means a heap of ruins. People's lives are in ruins. They're in a heap of ruins. They're all a big mess. And God comes down to judge that kingdom of a heap of ruins. He's looking for a tree to hang its king on. Imagine being a tree of righteousness where demonic principalities are hung. Demonic principalities that have been wrecking people's lives. How would you like to be one of those trees? A tree of God's judgment. Some people don't like that idea. And that's okay. Maybe you'll be a sycamore tree that people can climb up on. We did that one last week. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. And next, there's the tree in 1 Samuel 14, the one with the honeycomb that Jonathan dipped honey from. In the midst of battle, Jonathan found a woods and honey dripping from the trees because they were beehives in the trees. Okay, now remember, we're trees. Trees that hang demonic beings out to dry. Trees that help people climb up to see Jesus. Trees that God throws into the undrinkable waters to make them drinkable. Trees where God wants angelic visitation to come down and flow into the earth. Trees where judgment and prophecy are brought forth and things are revealed that show people the mind of God on different matters. And then, right where you are, you could be a tree that is dripping with honey, a tree where weary soldiers can be refreshed. There are a lot of weary soldiers in Christianity who need refreshing. They are worn out, burned out, and they have been fighting really hard. And there could be a religious curse over them that drives them. It says you can't be renewed and you can't be refreshed. God wants to have some trees that are dripping with honey. Hallelujah.
Now, let me interject here. If you recall, King Saul, who was Jonathan's father, had made this decree that nobody was supposed to eat anything until they had won the battle. And Jonathan didn't get that message, and he was out in the woods and he ate the honey. But the people knew that he had done that and he was supposed to die. That's a curse. That is a religious curse. The guy made an inner vow. He made a vow. But let's get back to the honey. God wants to stand a tree who are dripping with honey.
so that God's faithful soldiers, you know, they're coming through the land. And they need to be able to get a taste of it, to be refreshed, to have some sustenance. Their eyes will be opened, which means their vision for their destiny will be restored. They'll be strengthened for the battle to do the works of God. Now, hear this. If you're going to be a tree dripping with honey, sustenance for the weary, there's something else you're going to be. You're going to be a tree full of bees. You're going to be full of bees. 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 Little annoying bees buzzing around you. Everybody wants the honey, but nobody wants the bees. We all want the sweet stuff, but we don't want the buzzy stuff. But it's easier to put up with the bees when you know there is a purpose that God has placed that bee in your life. And the purpose is to create something sweet for people who are coming by. Some weary, battle-worn soldiers in the army of God that need to be refreshed, to have their eyes enlightened, their vision renewed. One of the big things to catch with this is this. Our Christian life is more than just listening to good words and being blessed. We need to grow up. We need to grow into the place where we realize God really does want to use us to help other people. We need to grow up and into the place big enough to get our eyes off ourselves. And begin to say, oh God, let me be a planting of the Lord for someone else to get in on the blessings. If you need to plant some beehives under my limbs, Lord, if I seem like a tree that's good for beehives, then amen. Know that when you make that kind of public confession, you can probably expect a few more bees in your branches.
That's true. So get out of yourself.
Ooh, try that one again.
Put down good, strong roots inside the river of living water so that in the time of temptation, you won't be the Christian who is excited about God for just a little while and then all of a sudden something happens and you're gone. You have no idea what your life is supposed to be, so you get carried away by the devil. God wants you in a place where there can be some roots and a real planting of the Lord. God wants to activate your life. You were born with destiny. You have something God has placed within you and upon your life. And as you respond to that, you will be satisfied and filled, and you'll begin to understand why it is you got planted out in the wilderness, if that's where you are. All of that makes sense when you submit it to the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, then there's the matter of fruit. Remember, Jesus actually cursed the fig tree because it didn't have any fruit on it. But the Bible said it wasn't time for fruit. It seems unfair to the poor tree. Here's a fig tree, just being a fig tree, and yet Jesus is coming by, and he's hungry. He draws near, expecting to find something, even though it wasn't time for the figs. He was expected to find something, and because he only saw leaves and no fruit, he cursed the tree. He said, you will never bear fruit, ever. You're done. It's over. And that sounds cruel, but not when you understand that when Jesus draws near, there's a grace to bear fruit. We're called to respond to the presence of God. There's no excuse. We can't say, I can't produce this fruit. We sometimes have a tendency to say, Lord, it's not time for the fruit. I'm not ready. I'm not trained. I'm not qualified. I haven't been to seminary. I'm too sick. My house is too small. My car is too old. My bank account is too flat. I haven't been watered enough. It's not my season. It's not time for figs. I believe that even right now there's a season of searching going on. God is drawing near and looking for fruit. God wants to engage us in something. He's looking for something from us, from our lives. And if we're not careful, we settle into our comfortable Christianity, where Christianity is all about me. Christianity becomes about me in my own time and in my own way being satisfied. But Jesus is hungry. Jesus is looking for something, and Jesus has every right to get fruit off our lives. When he draws near, he brings the ability to produce with him. There's a mindset shift going on, and all God is looking for is for us to say, you know, Lord, the seasons are not determined by the way it's always been. The seasons are not determined by what men say. The seasons are not determined by what my circumstances say. The seasons are determined by when you draw near to me. When you draw near, it's now the season. It's time for me to produce fruit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, that is such a powerful revelation right there. When Jesus draws near, there's grace to bear fruit. It is his presence and his power that enables us to bring forth fruit. Before we close tonight, I'm going to read a vision that was given years ago. I have kept this with me. The vision wasn't given to me, but I was there to receive it. And it truly impacted my life. I've never forgotten it, and I've never let go of it, and it is part of the reason that I studied trees. But this is what was said. The Lord gave this vision to me at a time when there were a great many questions and a great many things being said about messages that were going forth. Do we believe this? Do we believe that? So I'm going to read it to you. I saw a great forest. The trees were many, and there were trees of every kind and shape. Each tree was loudly applauding his own merit. It was like a giant marketplace where each merchant loudly shouted to sell his wares. It was the whole earth and the trees with the many messages of the earth, each crying out that the others should conform to his image. I saw them, political, educational, and religious, and I wondered at the world, for it had gone mad, and madness was inspired by fear. And then I saw that it was today. And I was a small tree in the midst of the mass confusion. I looked around me and compared my size and age with others. I was young and very crowded among the trees of very great height and age. As I watched myself, I was taken by the husbandman and moved out of the place where I was and planted in a garden of great beauty. Here, I saw only a few trees, some that had been there a long time, and I counted the trees, and there were 11,
And then one more was added, and there were 12. It was a beautiful garden, and all of the trees of the forest could find no way to enter it. Here, they were tenderly cared for, and each tree began to think much of itself. They thought they were selected and chosen to live in the garden, away from the loud and frantic scramble of the forest. Now I looked at the trees in the garden beside me, and I saw they were beautiful. Each tree had leaves of different shapes and sizes, and I saw the husbandmen gather these leaves, and I wondered at their worth. Then I was told that they were the works of the tree, and that they truly had power to heal when used rightly. Each tree had different works, and I wondered at what I was being shown. I sought to understand, and I saw that each tree was producing fruit also, each one of a different kind. Now the fruit was picked and taken by the husbandman, and I was sure when the master of the garden took the leaves that he looked especially proud of mine. And I held a little feeling of superiority in my heart. But when he took the fruit, I just knew he considered mine the very best. And I openly began to seek approval, only to find that each tree in the garden was feeling the same way that I was feeling. Each tree began to cry loudly that the others should conform to his productive image, that they should lay down their different sizes and shapes and kinds of fruit and conform to the image of the speaker. The noise was deafening and was terrible, for it was no better than the forest from which we had all been taken. My heart was grieved, for I saw that I was a part of it, and I didn't know how to stop it. Then the husbandman came forth. He stood silent in the center of the garden. I was dumb with the guilt of my pride. He spoke, and I heard him, and I hid my face for his brightness. And the heat was as hot as fire when he touched me. He said, "Which of you is ready to give up that which has been given unto you and take on the image of another?" Nobody answered, so he turned away. Each of the trees began to shout loudly, "I'm the oldest, I'm the tallest, I've been here the longest, I have the best fruit." And I saw that the trees were still comparing themselves with one another. I wonder which image he'll choose of all these trees to conform the rest of us to. Which one is his chosen tree? Now the clamoring became frantic as each tree felt his life was threatened and his works were being outdone and his fruit replaced. Each tree went into rapid production among them. Thinking to preserve our lives, we each began to give all that we were able to give. But the master didn't come, and the leaves fell to the ground, and the fruit rotted. What a wailing went up from the garden. For the master of the garden came not to gather his fruit and did not come to take the leaves. The garden was full of sadness, for our very best efforts had been wasted and rotted, and nothing was gained, for the master had not returned to pick one of us. I cried finally that my efforts had been the least of the garden, and I had regarded them so highly. Surely the master had abandoned us, and we were to be used no longer. There was such a cry and lamentation and self-pity in the garden that none of us realized the Master had returned. When his presence was made known, the tallest tree said, "Why didn't you come to judge our fruit? Why do you wait until we're barren and unfruitful? You cannot pick from us, among us, in this condition. For we have nothing to show you, nothing to give." But he didn't listen to the trees as they questioned him. He looked from one of us to the other, and I wished I were anywhere but in front of him. His eyes were sad, but they were full of compassion and understanding. The garden became quiet, and he spoke to us. His voice cast away our fear, and it caused such peace. I thought it was over. And then he said, "I shall build a fire and ask each of you to lay down your life and let the fire burn away the outward signs of your existence. All those things that would distinguish you as an individual." It was hard to breathe. It was so cold. Our lives, our very existence, surely not. Then each tree looked into the Master's eyes, and as he sought their faces, they bowed before him. He clipped a limb from each tree, and then chopped the tree down and laid it on the fire. All of me that was left was just a little limb. All else was gone. Then he placed us in the garden together, and a bud came forth. We were one tree growing. There was no difference between us. We did not look like any of the trees before. We were transformed into one mighty tree. And the fruit that we put forth, 12 manner of fruit, was the same as each tree had produced. But the leaves were different from any that the 12 trees had produced before. They were all one kind. Where we had been one garden, we were now one tree.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This vision aligns with Jesus' prayer in John 17, verse 20, where he says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me."
Oh, thank you for your word, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. So let's pray together. And we ask that you pray out loud so the angels can hear you, and so also can the demonic angels hear you. And you make declarations that moves heaven and moves the earth. So thank you, Lord. Father God.
Father God.
I know you have awesome plans for me.
I know you have awesome plans for me.
And that I am not an accidental planning.
I'm not an accidental planting.
You have planted me.
You have planted
me. Very strategically.
Very strategically.
For your purpose.
For your purpose.
And even though I may not fully understand I trust you. In your wisdom, you know what's about to happen. You know the people that are about to come my way. And you've asked me to be available to them, Lord. If I'm a tree that will host angelic beings and serve as a place for downloads from heaven. Or a tree where people can come for wisdom and direction. That's great.
That's great.
But Lord,
if being a tree
means I display the defeat of demonic forces, or it means having people step on my branches to see Jesus, or if it means uncomfortable things flying around me, like bees, annoying things, and people who stink. Or even if it means giving up my life to heal bitter waters. That's good too also, Lord. I just want to partner with you in restoring mankind and this earth back to you. Lord, I pray right now that as I've been called a tree of righteousness, you help me see my calling. Keep me planted by the river of life. And give me a fresh drawing strength as I drink from your river. My desire is to stand up and respond to your presence and produce fruit, whatever the season. It's always season in your presence. Thank you, Father, for your grace, for your gifts, and for making me a tree of righteousness.
A tree of righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. And I just want to speak now to some of these things that were addressed in the vision. Our need to be noticed, our need to compare ourselves with others, and the pride issues that raise their ugly hands. And Father, I stand in the gap. You said you were looking for a man who would stand in the gap and say, restore. And that person is me. That man is me right now. Jesus, you said, whosoever sins we remit, they are remitted. So I just stand in that broken down place in the spirit, stand between the living and the dead, where the hedge has been compromised, and I say restore. I speak to all those spirits of pride and self, spirits of performance, competition, comparison. You don't have a place in the body of Christ. I speak to those spirits of division and separation that would keep us from being one, because this one doesn't believe in deliverance, or that one doesn't believe in healing, or this one doesn't believe in whatever. Help us know, Lord, that you know where everyone is. You know where you need them to be. You know what kind of a tree you've planted. And you're the only one that can get them where they need to be. And we don't need to have them conform to us, nor hinder their growth where they are. So I just speak now to pride, comparison, competition, judgments and criticism. I speak to you all. You are evil, lying devils. And I cast you out from every cell in their body, every thought in their mind, every emotion in their heart. I send you to the pit, according to the word of God, that burning coals fall on you and you cannot rise again. Loose them and let them go. Lord, I thank you that you seal this word in our hearts and in our minds. And you help us to see the purpose in where we are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Take a breath, everybody. If you have a comment, a question, if you'd like to add something, we've got a few minutes here. Star 6 unmutes your phone so that everyone can hear you. If you didn't have an opportunity to let me know you're here and you'd like to do that, that'd be good too. So comments and questions. Star 6. Speak now and avoid the late rush.
Hello, it's Gretchen.
Hi, Gretchen.
That vision is quite spectacular. And the unfolding that. Oh my gosh, like that is so much to chew on and to swallow and then to chew on again. As beautiful, so beautiful, Lord. I just love the true humbling that comes with the Holy Spirit. I mean,
it just
makes me ever so grateful for the grace of God. And how much easier it is to grow when we are supplied with what we need, you know. And I just love the foreknowledge of God too. That was beautiful, and that is, I think, very essential message, particularly for me tonight. So anyway, instead of rambling, I'll just get off, but I'm still a little bit undone, and I just wanted to just thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Hallelujah. God be the glory. Praise God. Anybody else got something to say tonight? This is your time.
Yes, give God all the glory. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for the wonderful lesson tonight. It's an eye-opener. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Help us understand this world out here a little bit more. What we're here for. Praise you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, fellow sister.
God bless you, baby.
Vicki, I want to say thank you
as well.
Yes.
I didn't know why the tree was scolded for not having fruit. Couldn't figure that out. The fig tree. But when he's there, you should produce fruit.
Amen.
That's great. And thank you for the beautiful tree story.
And last week, too. It's really good. Thank you, Antoinette.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Hey, Lynette.
Hey. Hey, Annette.
We got an Antoinette and an A-net.
That's right.
Call me A-net. That's what my mother-in-law used to call me, A-net. I was like, all right. But, yeah, that's where my struggle right now is trying to find my placement, exact, you know, to do his will, you know what I'm saying, in the direction and path, and I just try to be really cautious in that step, though. You know what I'm saying? That it's his path, you know.
I understand. Let me just say this. Don't be afraid of it. The word says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. It does not say you know what they are.
Sure.
So, you know, just be released from trying to figure it out and making sure you do it right. I release you from that in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, because some things I know that I was strong in Christ, but then yet it's, I don't know, I call it religion. It's not so much religion, but then it's kind of like a question, you know, if am I being too bold? You know what I'm trying to say? There's all these questions out there, you know, of reception and, the, you know, the concern of reception, I guess you can say.
Yeah. All right, let me, and this is for everybody. Let me give you a little hint here. When you begin self-doubt or doubt of God, the devil is working on you. And any time that those kinds of questions come up in your mind, you can go directly to the Father and say, Lord, some people say I'm too bold. Is that true? And let God the Father speak to your heart, because you already know the answer in your head.
Right.
But the confusion is in your heart. There is a lie that has been planted in there, and the Father will speak truth to you. That way you can break agreement with the lie. You are now the man with the experience and not the man with the argument.
Right.
So just, you know, if you're unsure of something, if the world has been talking to you, the devil has been, you know, whispering in your ear, go to the Father and get the truth. Don't ask a long, drawn-out essay question. Just ask him yes or no, you know. And you will hear from him, because you are designed to hear his voice. So thank you, Amy. Don't worry about it. Release it to God. He's with you.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Yeah. Yes, Vicki, this is Helen.
Yes, ma'am.
Did I hear her correctly say age? She was concerned about her age? Or did I misinterpret that?
No.
I didn't say that,
but it's in there.
Yeah. you heard that in the spirit, Helen.
Yeah,
you heard
that in the spirit.
Okay. So you can correct her on that one.
Well, it not too many years ago, the Lord spoke to me and told me I was going to return to mission school and I was going overseas.
Wow.
And I laughed and I said, Lord, do you know how old I am? He said, I've known for a long time and I never talk about age. Okay? Remember that I was 84.
Wow.
All right. And then later when I came back home, something came up and I started to bring up age again. And the Lord said, what did I say about that? He said, if you wish to continue to talk about age, let me know how it goes for you. Okay? God bless.
Yeah, I've heard that before, too.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for that word.
Thank you. God bless you, Helen. When I grow up, I want to be you.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else before we close our meeting tonight? Star 6, if that's you.
Thank you, Helen. That was really good.
Amen.
Yes, Helen, that was really good. Thank you for sharing. And today's word is really like water to the to our trees today, my tree. Sometimes when you're overwhelmed and exhausted, you just want to just stay at the source where where the Lord would just refresh you with water and you're back up again, even though you're young or old. So thank you for the word today or this morning. Hi, Vicky.
Hi,
it's Kathy.
We are halfway around the world. And thank you for joining us this morning where you are. Say what?
Yes, something.
Yeah, did you want to add something? Kathy?
Oh, sorry. Was it me? Are we talking to me? I just said that tonight's message was really refreshing. It's like watering your tree tonight. Sometimes when you're overwhelmed or exhausted, you just go back to the source and just be refreshed. So the word of today is really refreshing. And I thank Helen. Sometimes when people think you're too old or too young, and yet God does not look at your age, but he's the one who qualifies you wherever you're called to be. So praise God for his grace. His grace is sufficient that sustains you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lord, for the word. Thanks, Vicky and Phil.
You're welcome, dear. If there are no other comments, it's 9:30. We'll close out.
Hallelujah. I was thinking about the tree that was adorned with honey and the dripping of honey. And I was thinking about the scriptures I heard today in the book of Kings about how Solomon had such great wisdom that people traveled from all over the world to come to hear his wisdom. And he imparted the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of God is in his word. And us being engulfed with the word of God, we are speaking the wisdom of God as Solomon did, and people around need that wisdom. It is so glorious. So in being a tree that's dripping with honey, dripping with the wisdom, the adornment as related of Solomon from the Old Testament. So keep in mind the importance of the calling and how in him, in God, in Christ, we can do all things. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And as Aaron, the high priest of Israel, blessed the people of God in Numbers, the 6th chapter, we close out by doing the Aaronic benediction, and we do it in Hebrew and English. And we feel that it is just a blessing to receive. So God bless you as you receive the blessings as in the original language, as well as in the English language, as we bless you into this week. And remember also, you heard Gretchen's voice, that Gretchen will repeat this message on Friday night. So if you want a different perspective that's very powerful, very anointed, join her at the same time on Friday night. And God bless you as you receive the Aaronic benediction. The Yishmarecha, Yisa Adonai, Panavelecha, Ifunecha, Yisa Adonai, Panavelecha, Yisem Lecha, Shalom. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. And Father God, we just thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your word tonight. We ask that you seal it in your people's hearts, that they have a great and glorious week in you and have grown just a little bit closer tonight to you and to your glory and to your wisdom. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, and we give you, God, all the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Also, next week we're going to continue in the deeper things of God, and we're going to begin a looking at the meaning of numbers in the Bible. So don't miss it. And we'll see y'all in the morning at the King's Table, 7:15 Eastern. God bless you all. Good night.
Thank you. Yeah, good night.
Bye.
Thank you.